We gather together to give thanks to an almighty God who looks upon us, his creation, and calls us his own, his children. Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Amen. God is good. And all the time. We come together to celebrate still this season of Thanksgiving Happy Thanksgiving to you. I hope you are all stuffed and happy and grateful for all the things that God has provided in your life. As we worship together, we invite you in the moments of meditation and music and in the moments of silence to count your many blessings. Think about the ways that God has touched your life in this past year and anticipate the way that he will bless you in many ways in the year to come. As we celebrated Thanksgiving, we've had already many opportunities, and we are grateful for those who were able to come to Elon First Baptist just down the road to celebrate in our community Thanksgiving services. There was a chancel full of ministers from so many different traditions, from so many different races and genders. It was exciting to see everyone there together and to worship and to have the opportunity to see so many of our own First Baptist folks there. Keith Sexton got to meet my wife, and he said, "Is this your wife?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, good, because the way you were looking at her, it better be your wife." So it was a lot of interesting opportunities to get to know one another better, and we hope that if you did not have the opportunity to come and be a part of that service this year, that you will anticipate and be prepared to come and be a part of that special opportunity next year. Just a few reminders. You have noticed out in the foyer, there is a CBF Global Missions table that the mission team has set up, and they have set the date December 10th for our CBF Global Missions offering. If you're new to CBF life, you maybe came out of church traditions where you had the Annie Armstrong and Lottie Moon offerings throughout the year, and those were highly anticipated and celebrated opportunities to support the mission work of Baptists globally. In CBF life, it's simply called the CBF Global Missions Offering, and you'll be hearing more about that next Sunday, but we want you to go ahead and put December 10th on your calendar and be prepared to come and give a little above and beyond your normal tithes and offerings so that you can support the work of people like Carson and Laura Fushi, who are near and dear to our hearts. If you may remember, too, that the structure has changed. Now, that Global Missions Offering goes to pay for all of their living expenses, their housing, health insurance, salaries, all of that is covered by the Global Missions Offering. So it's an extremely important way to support those missionaries firsthand. Also, was informed this morning that next Saturday at 12:30, all members of First Baptist Church are invited to play in the dirt. There is a large delivery of dirt coming, and Jerry and the buildings and ground team have big plans for that, for planting flowers, shrubs. I don't know what else they're going to plant, but they've got a lot of ideas, that recommendations that have come from some of the ladies. So next Saturday at 12:30, if you want to come with shovel and wheelbarrow and ready and willing hearts, even if you can't shovel dirt, if you'd like to come and just encourage and fellowship with those, this will be taking place after the decorating of the church for the Advent and Christmas seasons. Today, we do give thanks, for we have a God in heaven who is with us in bad times and in good times. He is with us both in the moments of laughter, and he is with us on the mourner's bench. Let us continue to worship.
Our scripture passage for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store in seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's, but people, and also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we are in that time of Thanksgiving, and oftentimes when we close the door on Thanksgiving Day, we turn it and focus our attention on Advent. But the season of Advent is also a season of Thanksgiving. Father our God, I ask that you allow each one of us to carry that thankfulness into our season of December, our season of Advent. I also ask that you allow us to carry that season of Thanksgiving into our time of worship today. We give you thanks for the opportunity to gather. We give you thanks for the walls that allow us to gather in this place. We give you thanks for the leaders and the musicians who are creating a sense of worship this morning. We give you thanks just for the opportunity to be in your presence. And most importantly, we give you thanks for the Spirit that is guiding and residing in each one of us. Father God, we come here giving thanks this day. We lift this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, hymn number 636, We Gather Together. Please stand.
To highlight what's going to be happening the next month, which is a lot going on, and the month of December, starting out with next Sunday, will start be our first Sunday of Advent. So you want to be here for the first Sunday of Advent, and then of course every Sunday we'll be continuing our Advent, and then on Sunday, December the 10th, our children will do a play called The Journey to Bethlehem, and they will be singing and doing their speaking parts, and you will also be involved during this. You will have some singing to do during that time also, so you will be involved during the children's play also. And then on Sunday the 17th, the adult, the worship choir, I think that's what y'all are called, will give their cantata. It's called The Greatest Story Ever Told. And it starts at the beginning and goes all the way through the cross. And so it just tells the whole story. Not just Christmas, but it tells the whole story. And you will be blessed by this story. And then on Sunday, the 24th of December, of course, is Christmas Eve. And we will have a service that morning. Several people have asked, will we have a service that morning? Yes, we will have 11 o'clock service that morning. And then at 5 p.m., we will have our Christmas Eve service, followed with communion during that service time. And, of course, then Monday is Christmas Day. And there will be no service Christmas Day like it was last year. So we look forward to seeing you all during this celebration of Christmas time. And if the children will come forward, we'll have our little message with the children. I know we have some here. And we're going to have to come on this side. Girls. Oh, they see what I have. Well, I'm trying to figure out how to get in it. I had it right, didn't I? Well, I have something this morning. Look what I have. Oh, everybody want to come over? Well, good morning. How are y'all this morning? What did we just celebrate? Thanksgiving, yeah. And were you thankful during Thanksgiving? Last week I talked about 10 things you should be thankful for. Did y'all think about any of those 10 things? Luke said yeah. Wes, you weren't here, so you know. Were you thankful for the food? Diamond? Adeline? No? Okay. Unless you're honest. Were you thankful for your family? Yeah? Oh, yeah, I shouldn't have got those out yet, should I? Okay, well, is it good to be thankful for God? Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, let's talk about this. You know, I was taught as a young child that you should be thankful for what you see. And what don't you see here? What is not in this donut? What's missing in this donut? Your teeth? What? The middle, yeah, the hole. There's a hole in it. So the hole is missing, isn't it? You know, so often we get so carried about what we see, but we need to think about what we don't see. In life, we get so carried away about, oh, I wish I had this, I wish I had that. So be thankful for what you have in life. And not what you don't have in life. So I'm thankful for this donut right now. And you wouldn't be too, you'd be kind of upset if I ate it in front of you, wouldn't you? No? Sally says no, no, no. But afterwards, y'all could take these upstairs, and Luke, if you want to go back up there with them so you can have a donut, you go with them. If Jennifer doesn't mind, if you go up there and have a donut. So in other words, the moral of this story is, look at what you have and not what you don't have. Be thankful for what you have, okay? And not on the things that you don't have, okay? Let's pray. Okay? Let's make hands. Hold on, let me get to it. Dear God, you have blessed us in so many ways. Help us to focus on our thoughts on what we do have and not what we don't have. I thank you for your love and your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think. I lick my fingers. We're singing verse 1 and 3.
Amen.
come to this time of prayer for our offerings that will be placed in the offering plates as they pass by. We also recognize today is a special day that we set aside every year to collect toys for our Orange County Prison Ministry. If you still have toys in your hands, we ask as the bells play our offertory song this morning that you please bring them up front. Please come up this side and place them up front during our time of offering. So this morning as we pray for our offering placed in the plate, we also pray for the gifts that will be given in these coming weeks. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we give you thanks again for all the blessings that you give us. We give you thanks for the opportunity to serve and honor you through the giving of our tithe today. Father God, just not just what's placed in the plates this day, but Father, the offerings of our lives to continue to serve and honor you and spread the love that you have so freely given us. Father God, we also recognize that today there are many that cannot be with us. There are many men in the Orange County Prison Ministry system who cannot gather here at church on Sunday mornings. And Father God, we lift them up today. We also recognize that as we come to the season of Advent, the season of Christmas, it is a very difficult time to be away from family. So we ask today as we bring these toys to be given to them so they can choose and give them to their children this holiday season, Father, we ask that you just place special blessings upon each toy. May it bring a smile and joy to a child in a teenager's hands. May it also bring a smile and joy to an inmate's hands, Father, who has a chance to give. Father God, we lift up not just those hands that will give the gift, but also the hands that will receive it. We place this offering of toys and tithe this day in your hands. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Time of the service, we pause in silence for you each to make your personal confession to the Lord. Would you bow with me? Oh God, we confess that in times of prosperity, we often take what we have for granted. It is easy for us to become comfortable and complacent and to forget the one who has provided us with all good gifts. Oh God, we confess as well that in times that are lean and times that are difficult and filled with either pain or sorrow, it is easy for us to forget the things that you have given us and the ways you've blessed us in the past. It is easy for us to lose faith and to have hearts that turn from gratefulness to bitterness, even unto anger. Oh God, we confess that we can so quickly and easily get swept away in a season of busyness, of long lists of to-do, things to be baked and cooked and cleaned and bought and wrapped, places to go. Help us, Lord, to slow down, to take stock of your presence in our lives. For you, Lord, are a gracious God, merciful, full of love, slow to anger, and who does not remember our sins when we confess in faith. And so, God, we stand before you as people of grace, lavished in your mercy and love, asking you, O Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray for those who do not have what we have. We pray for those who are lost and need to be found. We pray for those who are bankrupt, whether it be a moral bankruptcy or bankruptcy in the pocketbook. We pray for those, Lord, who cannot move, who cannot be free, whether it is that they are confined to prison or a prison of their own making. But we also remember those, Lord, who feel some days like they are prisoners to their bed or to their hospital room or nursing home. And so, Lord, we pray that all your children would experience your grace and your presence, that you would abide with them and surround them in your love and give them hope. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. Our second scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 8 comes to us as a warning to not forget about God in the good times, in the times of prosperity. The people have entered into a land of plenty, a land flowing with good things. And so to them, God says this, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land flowing with streams, with springs and underground waters welling up in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees, of pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land where you may eat bread without scarcity, where you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and from whose hills you may mine copper. You shall eat your fill and bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied, and your silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock, and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your ancestors, as he is doing today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I need you to pray for me this morning as we have new microphones and I keep wanting to flick this pencil out of my ear that's not really there, but hopefully it'll make the sermons so much more powerful. We can pray. Let us do that. Lord, we ask now that with our hearts stirred by the music and the scriptures and the prayers that we've experienced, that we would be ready to hear your word for us, that you prepared before we were even born, you had in your mind this very moment. We expect your spirit in Christ's name. Amen. I was reading a book of jokes that a pastor friend of mine gave me some years ago, and there were several stunning ones on Thanksgiving, and they all sort of centered around food. That's the heart and soul of the Thanksgiving holiday. My favorite one of all of those was about the little girl who was asked by her aunt if she enjoyed eating the Thanksgiving turkey, and she said, "It was all right, but I really liked all that bread he had eaten." So many of those jokes were about food, because if you think about it, Thanksgiving is unique from the other holidays. At Christmas, we have all sorts of traditions for decorating, for gatherings. There are songs and traditions that go very, very deep, way past even the existence of this nation itself. Easter, likewise, has ancient traditions locked into it, things that you would find bizarre at any other time of the year. But what do we do to celebrate Thanksgiving? Let's all sit around and eat until we are sick. That's it. But of course, that's not it. There is more to that story than just eating until we cannot take it any longer. There are traditions of coming together as a family, coming together with friends, celebrating what God has done in our lives. So many people can tailor-make Thanksgiving to fit their own unique little world. Some people had Thanksgiving a month ago with family from New York, or some people who have split families, they have three or four Thanksgiving celebrations. We all have the opportunity to do whatever fits our life, to simply gather with the people we love and to be grateful, to be thankful. You don't even have to eat a turkey. Some of you probably smoked your turkey. Some of you fried your turkey. Some of you baked your turkey. Did anybody not eat turkey at all? A few of you. I know a friend whose tradition is to eat macaroni and cheese. That's their Thanksgiving go-to meal, just mac and cheese. So it doesn't really matter what we do. This is not even a Christian holiday. Essentially, it's a national day of prayer, but deeply rooted in the Christian tradition of giving thanks to God for all that he has given us. And one of the traditional expectations of the Thanksgiving season is we expect a worship service in which we sing, we gather together, encounter many blessings, and we hear a sermon on the importance of giving thanks. And perhaps no story is turned to by preachers this time of year more than the story of the 10 lepers. When I was a kid, all I could hear was leopards. 10 leopards, not lepers. But no, it is not leopards with spots, but lepers with blemishes. As we come to our scripture, Jesus seeks to teach us something profound through this act of healing. In verse 11 of chapter 17, he says, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered the village, 10 lepers approached him. Now, we don't know exactly what disease they were struggling with. When we hear the word leper, we immediately think of flesh-eating, highly contagious diseases. But this word, in fact, was used for many ailments of the skin and body. The point is that they were 10 folks who were deeply hurt, deeply troubled, and very, very sick. They approached him, keeping their distance. They keep their distance partly because of contagious concerns, but also because of the Jewish tradition that what's really contagious is their unclean state. They are untouchables, unwanted, pushed aside, overlooked, forgotten, hated, and feared. It's a very equivalent to, in our modern society, of people who have AIDS. They are scary to us. They are to be feared, perhaps even hated, and certainly judged. And so in that same manner, these 10 lepers keep a respectful distance from Jesus, but they do approach him. They come near. And in verse 13, they call out saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were made clean. Could you imagine that journey? It's important for us to observe that they did not become clean and then obey Jesus. As they were going, they were made clean. They had faith. They believed in Jesus enough to approach him and call him Master. They saw in him the truth and the reality of who he was, and they believed in him. And so as they went in obedience, they were made clean. Then, verse 15, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Again, not only was he the feared, loathed, hated leper, but to add even more taboo to his situation, he is a Samaritan, racially hated and despised and looked down upon by the Jewish people. He was doubly unclean. But he's the one that turned around and came back to Jesus. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they?" When none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It's a peculiar ending to the story, isn't it? He's already been healed. Why did Jesus need to end this interaction with, "Your faith has made you well"? There's something very mysterious at play in the scripture. And many times the go-to understanding or the go-to proclamation is there were 10 lepers, but only one was good. Only one was truly faithful. Only one was sufficiently grateful. But I push back against that reading just a bit, because if you look at those 9 other lepers, what did they do wrong? In truth, they did nothing wrong, did they? Were they disobedient? No. Did they have less faith? No. They had faith enough to act merely on Jesus' instructions. They believed him to be Master, to be Lord, and they believed in his healing power. If you had just a Paul's gospel, they would be so obedient in their faith. But even if you also added to that James, faith without works is what? Dead. Did they have works? Yes. If you really pay attention to the wording, they simply are doing exactly what Jesus ordered them to do, aren't they? Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." They are not doing anything disobedient or wrong. They are following the letter of the law of Jesus' instructions, and they are going to show themselves to the priests. They are being obedient. They have both faith and they have works. So what is the real difference between the 9 who obey Jesus and the one who technically kind of disobeyed Jesus by turning around and coming back and falling down on his face before Jesus and praising Jesus and glorifying him. The difference is much like that difference between Mary and Martha. Do you remember those two sisters of Lazarus? Lazarus, whom Jesus brought back from the dead. There is a story earlier in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, of these two sisters who've invited Jesus into their home. Both of them love Jesus. Both of them believe in Jesus. Both of them are obedient to Jesus. And get this, both of them desire to serve Jesus. But if you remember the way the story goes, Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and just adored him, hung on every word he had to say, just loved him and was in his presence, worshiping him. Martha was the one who was busy about the stuff that had to get cooked and prepared and cleaned, and she was bringing out dishes and serving people drinks and frantically working up a sweat as she did everything in her power to serve Jesus, to the point where she said, "Jesus, do something about Mary. She's not doing anything. I'm over here working, and she's just sitting there." And Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better way, and it will not be denied her." The key difference between Mary and Martha and the one leper and the other nine lepers is a heart of gratitude that stems from a love of Jesus, a love relationship with him, a love relationship that demands not just healing and not just the opportunity to serve or to obey letter of the law instructions, but one that goes beyond that into encounter and relationship and worship. The difference between Mary and Martha and the one leper and the nine is that they do what they're doing out of love response and overpowering gratitude. Jesus looks at this leper and sees that love and admiration and heartfelt gratitude, and then he says, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." It's one thing to be obedient. It's another thing to be well. It's one thing to serve in the church and on committees and on teams and to be busy doing stuff around the building and putting things up and taking things down. It's one thing to do all of that. It's another thing to be well with Jesus and to adore him and be in relationship with him, a loving relationship that is built on real encounters with Jesus. If you are like me, it is tempting and so easy to fall into the rut of servanthood, where we are so busy being Martha, just doing and doing and doing, and we have forgotten how to be Mary as well and just be in the presence of Jesus and be thankful. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we pause to ask that you would open our eyes to see the reality of who we are. Are we a Mary or are we a Martha? Are we like the nine or are we like the one who is living well? And when we see ourselves, God, help us to respond in faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Hopefully, as you entered the room today, you received a small orange piece of paper. What we want to invite you to do is to just a few moments before we sing, just in this silent opportunity of reflection, for you to take a pencil or a pen if you have one, or if there's one on the back of the pew in front of you. And to simply, in this moment of silence between you and the Lord, write to God a word of love and thanksgiving, whatever is on your heart. And then when we come to the moment of singing our hymn of response, we're going to invite you to come forward through this side. You'll have to go and return from this side and place your letter of love and thanksgiving in this horn of plenty, this cornucopia that we have on our altar today. If you don't have an orange piece of paper, we do have some extra ones, and I'm going to ask Jerry to come around. And if you don't have a piece of orange paper, just raise your hand, and he'll provide you with one. Thank you, Jerry. You may continue to reflect and write your word of thanksgiving as we sing together our hymn of response, Come Ye Thankful People Come, number 637 in your hymnals. If you're able, would you please stand? And if you are willing, would you bring your word of thanksgiving forward?
Thank you.
this blessing as we go and prepare to celebrate the rest of this Lord's Day. The God of the harvest receives your word of thanksgiving. He laughs out loud with joy for the words that you have shared with him. He fills the horn of plenty full of grace and mercy and words of life. Go, and may your faith make you well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.